from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That is Cause I Love You, Rufus and Carla Thomas, the first real single on what would later become Stax Records. Jim Stewart, the ST and Stax, the late Jim Stewart, born on this day in 1930.
Okay, before we get to the important topic of Smash Burgers, which is it interests me, I did want to talk about some hoops. Santi Aldama, very good once again for Spain. It feels like Santi Aldama is the player who is expected to get minutes, who is sort of the most overlooked, or maybe not by you, I'm speaking broadly. We don't talk about him much. It's sort of maybe don't expect much from him. What do you make of Santi Aldama and his current status with the Grizzlies?
You know, he's in an interesting place because he is eligible for an early extension. He's still under contract next season regardless, but he's eligible for an early extension that would kick in the following year. They have a lot of players under contract, a lot of money on their books, and it is not dead certain what his future on the team would be. He has not firmly established that. He's established he's pretty good, but he's not firmly established what his role would be. I think last season was a weird season for the whole franchise, and part of the byproduct of the weirdness is that they didn't come out with a clear sense of what Santi Aldama is going to be and what he could be for them. And so, I think more than likely he goes into the season without an extension and is in the rotation, probably coming off the bench. Not certainly, but probably coming off the bench, and then you sort of see where it goes. He has a bundle of attributes that are fairly rare. Like, he's a 7-footer who plays on the perimeter and can handle the ball and pass and shoot and do a lot of interesting stuff. I felt like last season he was a little out of sorts even when he played. He finally came on strong there at the end, but he still has sort of a lot to prove, and he's got players coming up behind him who are more like combo forwards than combo bigs, but could take that role. You know, Gigi Jackson could basically take that role. Jake LaRavia could sort of take a role similar to that. I think it's a lot of uncertainty about Santi.
It's interesting because you talk about the weird year, and it was a weird year. You would have thought that it might have given him the opportunity to assert himself. Instead, he felt lost.
Yeah, it seemed like early on at one point he was. Like, he had a stretch where he was getting a lot of shots, putting up some big box scores, and then I don't really know what went on with him. There was something about his game to me that felt listless, that felt like it drifted. I know that he, and I don't know whether this is related or not, but I know that he has changed agents in the past year, And I just don't, you know, I've heard some other stuff on him that I wouldn't really want to share, but makes you sort of wonder about, like, you know, where he's going, where he's going to be at going forward. I think he's talented and he's young, and I think he certainly could have a long-term future with the team, but it is very uncertain. So I think, you know, I think it's an interesting season for him.
You mentioned last week when we were talking about the Grizzlies and their cap situation and the fact that heading into this year, they have lots of opportunity to do lots of things, given that the assets they have accumulated. I presume he would be one of the assets. What? How might he figure into something, and what do you think his value is around the league? Do you have any sense of that?
Well, I mean, he's headed into, I mean, anything that's trading for him is going to have to, they want him beyond, you know, right, in the future, so you have to give him a new contract. So I don't know that he alone has a lot of trade value. I certainly think he has positive trade value,
right,
but I don't think he's like a big trade piece. But I certainly think if they determine, like, you know, our path going forward, that, you know, with Jaren Jackson and Brandon Clark and Zach Edey and Gigi Jackson, like, you know, he's a guy who's going to get the squeeze, and he's not part. If they determine we're not going to get him a new contract next summer, I think he's an obvious player to trade, to be involved in a trade. But I don't think it's not like, you know, he's not Lauri Markkanen to the Jazz, where it's like, okay, send us all your draft picks and we'll think about trading him. You know, it's not going to be that.
Is there something, by the way, because as John Martin pointed out, he balled out last summer as well in international basketball. Do you think there's something about the game that fits him better?
Well, international basketball is different. And, like, you know, it's not uncommon for players to be better in one than the other. That goes both ways. You know, there's a lot of, there's not so much competition for him for minutes on the Spanish national team, honestly, there is probably right, for the Memphis Grizzlies, you know? So I think it's a clearer role for him, and he's higher in the pecking order probably for them. And I think, you know, he grew up in that style of basketball. And I think we've seen with, like, previous Grizzlies players, like, you know, the guy, not that they don't care in the NBA, but you really amp up in these sort of short-term, you know, tournaments for your national team. So I do think that style of game is probably somewhat better suited for him. But I think he has all the ability to be a really good, not like an all-star or anything, but like a really good NBA player. He already is a pretty good NBA player. And so, you know, I think he's got a lot of future ahead of him in the NBA, whether that's with the Grizzlies or someone else. But, you know, he could easily play his way into, like, a long-term role with the team. He could easily be someone who the team is, you know, moving at the trade deadline.
Did you watch any Olympics over the weekend?
No, I mostly drove a cargo van over the weekend. We did an overnight to Chicago, moving all of our daughter's furniture into. She's moving to an off-campus apartment for her second year, and so we moved her stuff into the apartment over the weekend.
All you do is move, Chris. You're just moving.
Pretty much.
I'm just sick of loading and unloading stuff.
I've driven a U-Haul from Memphis to St. Paul this summer, and I've driven a cargo van from St. Paul to Chicago. Yep.
All right. Well, just in case you hadn't noticed, Kevin Durant is good at basketball. And is still
good. It's true.
It's still good at basketball.
But, you know, but the injury thing where, like, you know, he was cleared like an hour before or whatever, and, like, This is going to be it's been the story. It's going to continue being the story at this stage of his career, where he is awesome when he plays, but I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, that's a real question mark for the Phoenix Suns.
Speaking of the Suns,
Tyus
at two. So now we've got the situation where we've got Kyle and DeAnthony on Golden State, and Tyus, and honestly, they all feel like a really good fit and important additions for teams that, you know, should be contending with the Grizzlies, jockeying with the Grizzlies. What do you think of Tyus to the Suns?
I mean, it's a good fit for him given where things ended up for him, but it's bad that for him that it got to that point.
Yes.
I sort of don't know enough to did Washington fumble this in the sense of they should have dealt him at the deadline and gotten something for him? Or did they not do that because they thought he was coming back? And if they thought he was coming back, why is he not coming back? And so I don't really understand the Wizards not trading Tyus Jones and then letting him walk for 1 year minimum. I don't really understand what's going on. I know they had a change in front office. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe the front office that did not trade him. had one expectation, and the front office that came in had a different one. You know, it's I've always felt with Tyus Jones that he's basically a really good backup point guard. That he is not someone who's going to be a 10-year starter in the NBA.
He's he's a starter who comes off the bench. That's what he is. I mean, I'm just joking. That's what he always called himself.
But he is that, like, you know, there are 30 teams in the league, and he's something like the 25th to 35th best point guard, right? And so he's sort of on the bubble. That's a really good player, by the way, but it's not a guy who's, like, you know, going to be a 10-year starter for some team like Ja Morant. The Phoenix thing's pretty good for him. He is a top six player on that team. Maybe he starts, maybe he doesn't, because they have Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Grayson Allen. They just give Grayson Allen a big contract. So I'm going to guess maybe Tyus comes off the bench and they start those three guys. But how many games Bradley Beal going to play, right?
Right.
So I think he's going to play a big role there on a team that should be in the mix, that will be in the mix for the postseason, whether they're a top six team or not. They'll be in the hunt. So that's a good spot for him. But it's a one-year deal, and he's going to have to sort of, you know, try to prove himself yet again and then go back into the market next summer. I know there was a little – it was funny. The 6 hours I was driving the cargo van to Chicago, like within that 6 hours was the three-hour bubble of a rumor of Tyus Jones coming to Memphis and then Tyus Jones signing with the Suns. Like, it all happened in the span of me driving. I doubt there was anything serious with the Grizzlies and Tyus Jones. What I will say is that when stuff gets reported like that, it's just like, you know, here's like five teams that are, that have, you know, and there's one of the teams. That's usually not made up, but it's usually something like, you know, a phone call was made and a 2-minute discussion was had and then things move on, right? I suspect that once it got to the point that Tyus Jones was just looking for a landing, do I think that, you know, that there was some conversation between the Grizzlies and his agent? Probably. There was probably a conversation with like 15 teams, right? I doubt there was anything serious there. It just didn't make sense at this point for either side.
Yeah, it feels like a deal, just back to me. It's not good for Tyus, and that he wanted a long-term starting position for real money somewhere, and so that's not good. But who's this good for is the Suns. Like, this is a great bargain pickup for the Suns, and so it's not good for the Grizzlies. If I'm telling you that there is stories will be written, let's say this December, about a great under-the-radar pickup who's having a real impact on a team, is it more likely to be written about Kyle, Tyus, or D'Anthony?
That's a good question. I mean, you got to tell me, the mystery there is D'Anthony Melton's back. He had back problems last season. I think if D'Anthony Melton is 100% healthy, I think Melton is the answer to that question. If Melton is not healthy, it's probably Tyus, because I think the Suns have a higher upside than Washington. And there's less clutter, you know, for good or for better or worse, there's less clutter on the Suns roster. I think the Warriors have like 10 or 11 like rotation players. The problem is there is the high level on them, where like their core is down to really two guys, and like one of those guys is Draymond Green. But there's a lot of depth of possibility there in terms of guys who can really play. In Phoenix, they got like, you know, six, seven players tops, basically. And so I think Tyus Jones could have a big role there. Tyus is probably the answer, but I think Melton has higher upside.
Ja Morant had his number retired at Murray State. Not much news particularly. He continues to sound good or whatever. And I know Taylor Jenkins was there. Zach Kleiman was there. And they did some deal where they teased somehow the Ja 2s. I imagine you're mostly locked in on the Ja 2 information, Chris. Do you have any thoughts on the Ja 2s?
I liked the Ja 1s. It didn't quite cross the threshold of a shoe I would wear, even if I didn't have like a conflict of interest.
Right.
But I did kind of like them. Not exactly my style. I'm not really a basketball shoe guy anymore. I'm like, you know, low top canvas sneaker guy.
I think the twos are higher tops. I think this is correct. I think the twos are higher tops. Anyway, enough about that. I want to get on to the really important stuff, smash burgers. Have you yourself, I know you've eaten less red meat, have you ever made a smash burger?
No, not really, although I am, as I contemplate what I'm going to do, like, with the outdoor situation at our house, I think one of my goals is maybe to get an outdoor griddle, which I probably will do some smash burgers. I think primarily I'll use the griddle for, like, you know, pancakes and breakfast stuff. But if I do get an outdoor griddle as opposed to just a grill, I think I probably will, like, you know, indulge in the art of the smash burger.
Can you get a griddle as like a option on a grill? You put the griddle down on the top of the
You can, but that's not really what I want. I'm probably just going to do a basic Weber kettle charcoal grill, which is what I tend to do. And then I'll get like a separate, like, gas powered
griddle.
I think that's going to be my plan.
That's interesting. All right. So the smash burger, I'll be honest. I wonder if it's real or if it's just marketing. The idea that you lock in juices by smashing the ball on the griddle instead of forming the patty with your hand seems a little preposterous to me. But what is that the concept?
Well, I mean, it's that. It's a different kind of. I like the texture. I like the sort of the lacy thin texture, and I like the caramelization. You get more coverage. I do think backyard, like, charcoal grill burgers are overrated. I think there's also backyard charcoal grill steaks are overrated. I think, you know, cast iron or griddle stuff where you get more coverage and more caramelization, I think is actually better probably for steaks and for burgers. In terms of the smash burger, I like the thinness. I like the sort of the lacy texture.
But do you need
it? I like sort of the crunchy.
Is Freddy's, which is a thin, lacy burger, I know you and Jennifer Biggs, it's one of your favorite fast food. Is that a smash burger, or is it just a thin burger that's cooked on a grill?
I have not been back in the kitchen. So I don't know, I don't know, how that's being done. I don't think it has quite like the caramelization of I think of with a smash burger, but it's pretty close. It does have sort of that lacy texture.
I like
this kind of burgers. I like those kind of burgers generally more than I like the thick burgers.
I bring this up because over at the Daily Memphian, you've written about a burger pop-up, the Secret Smash Society. Tell me about the Secret Smash.
No, well, I mean that is a thing that has been written
smash
about.
Smash and grab.
I wrote about
smash and grab.
Yeah, I wrote about that pop-up is a different thing. I wrote about a burger truck.
I see.
The smash and grab
burger
smash and
lab.
Grab burger lab.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they were related.
Really,
okay, go ahead.
Yeah, they're two separate things. I've not actually had the Smash Society burgers. That's the guy who does the Kenneth Folk restaurant who I've read about. The burger truck's great, and it's a truck, so it bounces around. But you can follow them on Instagram. They have tended to be, not every week, but most weeks, they are in your neighborhood. Easy for you to do. Most weeks, they are outside of Yorkshire Liquors. They're on Quince on Wednesday afternoons, early evening. And that's a pretty reliable spot to find them. But, their burger truck, they bounce around. They're a new truck, and they do smash burgers that are really, really good, and fresh-cut seasoned fries and lemonade and other stuff. And they're pretty, they got some fun names of their stuff. They're sort of hip-hop culture influenced, but the burger's just really good.
It's the Smash and Grab Burger Lab, and the pictures are fantastic. Of course, you have these thin burgers that they evidently can stack three high with melty cheese.
Yeah, you want to get at least a double. You can go up to the triple. That's the Triple Beef Mafia. I would recommend the double, the Old Yay. Don't do a single unless you're like a toddler or something. You don't want a single on this.
Then the link between the food and the culture, they had a shop on South Main. Explain this to me.
Yeah, they still do. It's not open to the public every day anymore, but they have their own shop on South Main, a clothing store. And the guys who run this are also like designers. Like they did. Remember the Grizzlies were doing like collaborations with like local designers.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of these guys were one of the groups they did a collaboration with. So they've designed hoodies and like clothing items for the Grizzlies.
Chris, I appreciate it. I'm going to have one this Wednesday. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.